We love him because he first loved us. We're going to talk about Galatians 5 and 6. First, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to tell you a story about what happened this week. Pretty exciting thing. Love in action. Forgiveness in action. The Holy Spirit in action. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're in charge. You're our Heavenly Father. You're our Abba Father. You're our Daddy who loves us. Yet you rule this universe. Lord, you want to rule us. Pray that you'd have your hand upon us here today as we look into your word, Lord. That it wouldn't be my words, but it'd be your words, Lord. Wouldn't be my notes, it would be your word. So, Lord, have your way with us. Open your word. Cause us to take your word into our hearts so that it'll become alive in us by your Spirit. So we can live this week in a different way than we lived last week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each one here. Bless us, Lord. Open our hearts, open our minds. Use my stammering lips here, Lord, to be an instrument for you, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wasn't sure if I was going to tell you this story, but I'm going to, because it fits with what we're... It was this week. Something happened. Pretty neat thing happened, actually, and it was in the courthouse. And not in the courtroom, but it was in the courthouse. And it was about something that happened on Highway 16, a tragic accident, about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, not far from here, where there was a head-on. Some of you might even have been involved in that. And one person was instantly killed, and the other one they thought was going to die because he was hanging upside down and in his vehicle and had injuries that didn't look very good. And since that time, that fellow gave his life to the Lord, dedicated his life to the Lord, living for the Lord. And here's the trial. And he's sitting there wondering, what happened? I don't even remember the accident. I don't even know what happened there because I was knocked out. And he couldn't remember. But as the trial was going on, the first day, there was some other people there beside, watching. And this lady from far away came up to him and asked him his name. And he said, yeah, that's me. She says, I'm coming here on behalf of my family and my brothers to forgive you. I'm here to say that we hold nothing on you, no animosity, because we're Christians and we want the best for you. This was in the hallway of the court, outside of the actual legal side. And there was First Nations people. There was Second Nations people. There was Third Nations. But there was quite a few godly people there. And one lady said, you know what we should do? We should get in a circle. We should pray. So there's about at least a dozen, maybe more, all of us around in a circle. And there was prayer. And this young fellow, he received the forgiveness and he had already hugged her and said, I was wondering how I was going to do this because I knew I needed to talk to you. And I didn't even know you were going to show up. And I was writing letters and I couldn't write those letters because it just was too hard. But I knew we needed to have this talk. And I'm thankful that you came. And I'm thankful you forgave me. And so then we prayed in the circle and people were crying and people were touched by the Lord that this would happen. Now, in the court of law, that's a whole other thing. There's all these details, and there's rubber marks, and there's forensic things on the blood count of if there was alcohol or drugs or whatever's involved, and who was on what side of the road. Still going on, in a sense. But something beautiful happened there. It was outside of the law. It was the Holy Spirit working. And after we prayed, that lady that had come, she said, "You know, that's wonderful." She said, "I think maybe this is a first." She said, "I think maybe this is a first." And I said, "Well, in this instance, with this situation, it is." And God changed things up there. Because she was a Christian. He was a Christian. Things changed. Things happened there that couldn't have happened without God being involved. It wouldn't have happened. It would be court, court, court. In the end of it, we'll see what God has. But there is consequences to everything we do. But Jesus came to forgive. Jesus came to make us alive. And it's all to do with our worship of Him, letting Him have His way in our heart. And I'd like to just read, it might seem a little out of context here, but it isn't. It's from Psalm 89. I was reading that this week. Psalm 89, verses 15 to 18. I like how this version says it. Different ones say it in a little different way, but happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship. For they walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice all day long in your wonderful reputation. They exult in your righteousness. You are their glorious strength. It pleases you to make us strong. Yes, your protection comes from the Lord, and He is the Holy One of Israel. He has given us our King. Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship. And you know, we're kind of used to, sometimes in certain churches, we call to worship is this. We read this scripture in the call to worship. And that's good. This is worship here. Ooh. Lost a little muff on the top of this. Thing disappears. There we go. But, yeah, call to worship. And I think it's good. We need that. But I think here in this context, and what God wants is us, He's calling us to worship Him every day. Actually, every moment of every day. And how do we do that? That's the question. In every human being is a heart that longs for worship. Some places, people to worship, they still sacrifice animals. I remember watching once on one of the TV shows on a culture where they kill chickens and they spray the blood on the idols, and then they think that appeases the gods, and then that's their worship. But God wants worship from the heart. And personal worship. We're going to talk more about personal worship today than corporate. Personal worship will cause us to want to have corporate worship, which is we have here. Both of them are good. But we need personal worship with God. And I think Paul is addressing some things here in Galatians that Jesus already was addressing earlier. In John chapter 4, he talked here to the woman at the well. And he said in verses 21 to 24, he said, Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes from the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when you worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I remember once talking with a fellow, and he's quite educated. He knows the Hebrew and the Greek. And I was talking about this very thing, about the Holy Spirit. And he said, don't say that so much about the Holy Spirit, because it's too mysterious. Just say King Jesus instead of the Holy Spirit rules in our heart. And in a way, he's right, because sometimes people have made the Holy Spirit so mysterious, but in actual essence, without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to worship him the way we should. He wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. And so Jesus told the woman at the well that that's how it's going to be and how it is now, and became as he was here on earth, as he died. And then, and as he rose again, let's read John 14:26, another verse here. It says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So the Holy Spirit is really important, really important. And people have abused the idea of the Holy Spirit. And I think when we turn to God and then we allow the Holy Spirit to rule in our life, we do a 180, we come to God and we do a 180 repentance. And sometimes we keep going around and then we do a 360 repentance, and then we do things that sometimes we call the Holy Spirit, but we're right back into ourselves again. That's a dangerous thing. We won't get into that too much. It'll explain part of it here as we go. How do I live this life out that he wants me to worship him? What does that mean? Does that mean coming to church? Obviously to us, it doesn't mean spraying chicken blood on idols. But does it mean just coming to church? Does it mean keeping the rules? Some people, we were at a funeral a month ago or so, and they just said, this lady was a really good lady. She did all kinds of good things. And yet, there was no gospel message. There was really nothing about Jesus. It was all about the lady. Is that worship? There is a battle that goes on in our heart. And Paul talks about that. Jared read from there in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read from there a little bit right now. It says, so let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Now, there's two things mentioned here. The Holy Spirit and the sinful nature. And if you're a believer here today, you got both of them. You got both of them. Some people, some believers think once you become a believer, you don't have the sinful nature anymore. But Paul's addressing believers here. If you're not a believer, all you got is the sinful nature. If you've never received Christ, all you've got is the sinful nature. So let's keep reading. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So our sinful nature, our old way, are called the flesh in the King James and other versions, wants to go this way. And that's my biggest battle, is me. My biggest battle is inside of me. It really is. It's not my neighbor. One guy told me, you know, till you start making a fence but on your two places, you don't really realize what's inside of you. This guy's neighbor wanted to build a fence, and so he talked about, well, how should we build it and what kind of boards? And they started arguing, and the one guy was a Christian. The other one, I'm not sure, But they started arguing, and he said, I realized what was in me by building the fence. And the fence, I don't know if it had to be there or not, but definitely we all have the sinful nature. And the two are absolutely opposed. The Holy Spirit says, go God's way. And it's God speaking in our heart. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God. Three in one. And so, yeah, there's this battle that goes on in our hearts. And we want to do it our way. I want it my way. When Eunice says something that I think it should go this way, I want my way. We all have it. Let's keep reading here. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. The two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Paul says in Romans 7, at the end of Romans 7, he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I do, I shouldn't do. And so there's this struggle inside because of that sinful nature, even if we're a believer. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Now there's a glimmer of light. Rules don't get us there. It's the Holy Spirit that gets us there. We're not under obligation. If we follow the Holy Spirit, He fulfills the needs or everything that God wants of us. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality. We see lots of that these days. We don't have to look. We turn on the TV for a little while and it's there. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. You know, I can tell when my sinful nature is coming up, when I start getting angry. And I know I shouldn't really say that, but I'm going to anyway. And then I mess everything up. Selfish ambition. Boy, there's a big one in our capitalistic society. I was just looking through the CBD, Christian Book Distributors. There's a book there that says that capitalism is what God wants. We're getting off on our Christian walk here in North America because we're not, capitalism is not being held up as something from God. Selfish ambition is one of the deeds. It doesn't say it's a fruit. It's a deed or a desire of the sinful nature. Dissension and division. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sounds kind of grim there. That's life in the sinful nature. We can't help it. If I'm not a believer, I can't help it but live like that. Somehow. Maybe I can make it look good on the outside. Paul the Apostle, he lived a religious life, and yet he was killing people or getting them killed, standing while he stoned Stephen. It all came out of that sinful nature. He understood it. That is an amazing thing. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now this is fruit. Why do we call an orange tree? Because it produces oranges. An apple tree produces apples. Something should. The Holy Spirit produces fruit of the Spirit. And so, this kind of fruit he produces. Love? No. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Greater love, that's agape love. That's the kind of love that it's talking about here. Agape love. Love to lay down our life for our friend. Actually, this love, if it was just love, it would cover all the rest. It would. Joy is in love. Peace is in love. Patience is in love. How do we love? How could that lady come from all the way to Ontario, come here with that message? We forgive you. We want the best for you. We want to keep in touch with you. My sinful nature would say, and she said, she went through a lot of stuff trying to get to that, letting God work in her heart to change her heart so that she could actually forgive. She said there was anger and there was vengeance and there was we should get him and hope he gets the worst. But she came without even knowing really where he was at. With that message, we want the best for you. They hugged, they cried, more than once. That happens by the fruit of the Spirit. She said, well, we're Christians. And I said, yeah, it's Jesus. And she said, yeah. And it's the Holy Spirit of Jesus that lives in us that causes us to do that. Now, I don't know where you're at. Probably you didn't have something like that happen to you. Maybe you have. Maybe it's something else. Maybe there's divisions. Maybe there's other things that really need to change in my heart. Do I try harder to change those things? Do I say I'm going to get a self-help course to change it? Is it really going to change it? Am I really going to get that love that I need? Joy. He gives us joy and peace. Love, joy, peace. There was a lady in Fort Babine, she would always say, she's gone now. She'd always say, you know, we just got to trust Jesus because he'll give us love, joy, peace. He'll give us love, joy, peace. And she did have, the first time I saw her, I knew she was a believer. Just because of the love and the joy and the peace on her face. You could see it. I asked her and she said, yeah, I love Jesus. And she did. She proved it by the fruit that was coming out. Did she work up the fruit? I don't think so. You can't work up fruit. We don't hang oranges on an orange tree to make it an orange tree. It produces oranges because that's what it is. And we're Christians. And as we walk with him, his fruit will show up. Patience. Somebody said, don't pray for patience. Because then God's going to put all kinds of things in your way to make you more patient. Well, I don't know if that's really true. Maybe it is. But he's the one who gives us the patience. You need more patience? Trust God. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. You know, if we all live, let the Holy Spirit rule in our heart, and he was living the way he should in our heart, we wouldn't need law. I have a vision in my mind, and one day it's coming when Jesus comes back, of the courthouse completely boarded off. The windows, big pieces of plywood, the doors, plywood. It would happen if everyone lived according to the Spirit. It would happen. There would be no need for court. Police would be out of work. It's amazing. So how does this all happen, though? How does this, like, practical? God is practical. So we say, yeah, it says that. So I guess I got to try harder to love more. I got to try to be more patient. And if I pray for patience, God's going to put these things in my life so that I'm just going to have to exercise patience more. what really happened, how it really happens is us surrendering our heart moment by moment to Him. And that has everything to do with the relationship that He wants with us. It's a relationship and not religion. And it's so easy to get caught up in the religious thing without even knowing it. Now, in a relationship, what happens there? How do we build a relationship? We get to know Him. We get to know the person that we want to know. Who's drawing us? Eunice and I have as good of a relationship as we spend time together. So one of the tests of our relationship with Jesus, one of them is how much of the fruit of the Spirit really is in my life and how much of the sinful nature still is there. And then how much time do I spend with Him? A lot of times I get talking with people, and we get talking about good sermons we heard. Pastor Larry maybe had a good one. Jared has good ones. We all have a good sermon. Maybe we listen to one on a CD, and those are all good things. And that can encourage us, but that's not the essence. The essence is Jesus. Spending time with Jesus. Dobson said, relationship equals time. He was talking about daddies. Daddies, if you think that you have a relationship with your kids and you spend 2 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day with them, you don't have really a relationship. Just can't be. Now we're in an age where things are just go, go, go. And we want to do our thing. And we want to be patient. We want to be kind. We want to love because if we're a believer, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We want those things. But if we don't know Jesus, if we don't let the Holy Spirit be King, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's talking about here now and in the future. So I guess the question I have for me and for you, how much time do we spend with Jesus? Now, I'm not saying we all got to be monks and head off into some corner somewhere and be a monk. Not talking about that. I'm just saying, has Jesus spoken to your heart today? Do you wait with your time with Jesus and in the Word and in prayer till He actually spoke to your heart? Or do we, sometimes I'm reading and I just read and it's done and kind of, yeah, thanks Lord for that. That was interesting. And then I go. But He hasn't really spoken to my heart. He wants a heart relationship with me. And He's going to point out these things, these sinful nature things in me that Eunice already knew way before. And I don't really realize it till God points it out. I'll argue with her about it. Oh, no, I don't have that. That's not right. It's you. That's how we do. So, in this time with Jesus, He's going to show us motives. Motives is everything. It really is. What is the motive? You know, I was just reading in the Old Testament about when three tribes, Reuben, forget which ones they were. Three tribes, anyway, that claimed some land on the east side of the Jordan. And then they went and conquered with the rest of them. And when everything was conquered, then these three tribes came back and they built a monument. It looked like an altar. And all the rest of them said, oh man, they're into false worship. They're making an altar there and they're supposed to be by the tabernacle and they were going to beat on them. Actually, they were going to annihilate them. And then they talked, though. What are you doing? Making a false worship. They said, oh, no, no, this isn't that. This is just an altar to remind us that God, when we go that way to where we worship, that we can We're reminded that we worship God in Jerusalem. And when you come this other way, we're worshiping God too. So they built an altar, and it looked like false worship on the outside, but inside the motive was good. And so God exposes motives, and he clears up the motives. When I'm going my way, my motives are me, myself, and I. When I turn, let him change me, then the motive actually is of God, and it's by the motivator, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit motivates us to love. So rather than trying to love more, I just spend more time with Jesus. This is the key. Spend more time with Jesus. Let him have control. And as he reveals these things to us, surrender it. This song, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. In verse 25 of chapter 5, it says here, let's read it. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That's what it says in here. Every part of our lives. As a believer, surrender, showing me. Change your attitude toward Eunice. I'm going to motivate you by the Holy Spirit to be what you should be, Ken, because you can't. He's asking us to do something that we humanly cannot do. We can only do it as we surrender to him. He's given us a new life. He came to transform us. When the Reformation happened, the church was reformed. It was. Thanks to Martin Luther and others. God did it, but he used him. But the people realized they had to be transformed. They couldn't live a religious life. They couldn't live by the law. So the key verse, I think, in Galatians is Galatians 2:20, where he says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So that's what God wants from every one of us as a believer. Surrender more. He'll motivate us. He'll give us the love. He'll give us the joy. And we'll wonder, the joy that passes all understanding. Wonder why that is. Because it's him doing it. I can't figure it all out. But there's joy there. There's love there. There's peace there. In the middle of the storm. So it comes out of a time with him. It's okay to listen to other preachers. Good thing to do that. But sometimes we just feed on that, and that's kind of like pre-digested. I remember when I was a kid, years ago, we had an orchard, and people used to come and buy fruit. And there was this lady, that very practical lady. She had a little baby that was starting to learn how to eat. Well, they ran out of, maybe they didn't have any pebble. Maybe this is how they always did. She chewed on the food. And then I'm looking, oh, she spit it in the kid's mouth. Chewed on an apple, spit it in the kid's mouth. I said, Mom, what about you? No, that's okay, she said. That's how baby needs that food. But when we grow up, it would be pretty odd if we're spitting food into each other's mouth. So in a sense, if we just live on other people's stuff, it's kind of like pre-digested. God wants to meet with you personally. He wants to meet with me, and probably you're way farther along than me on that one. But I know one thing, is that when I surrender to him and let him have his way, love comes. Peace comes. Joy comes. It's not by the rule, not by the commandment. Just by this relationship with him. Isn't that beautiful? I think it is. then I'm going to want to spend more time with him. I'm going to want to get to know him better. And the sermons from the other guys, they're good too. But the main thing has to be that we spend time with him. We need to linger with him. Linger. But these days, we, you know, in the courthouse, there was this thing, no loitering. And one guy sees, there's a whole bunch of us. Are we loitering? He said. Well, we're not talking about loitering. We're talking about lingering. We lingered there, I think. And the Holy Spirit was working in an amazing way among us there. But God wants us to linger with him. He speak to our heart. Linger. Listen. Listen. What's he saying? What's he saying? The Word of God? We'll open it. We're going to want to read it because it's his letter to us. We're going to want to read it. He's going to speak to us through the Word. He's going to speak to us through our conscience. It'll always line up with this, because the Spirit and the Word are not divided. Jesus is a living Word. What does it say in 5:14? I got it written down here for a reason. For the whole law can be summed up in one command: love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law. You know what the law is? Pretty well. There's a few things. There's the Psalms and that stuff. That's this part of the Bible right here. Whole Old Testament summed up by loving your neighbor as yourself. Wow, that's pretty powerful. We're going to obey the Ten Commandments without even thinking about it. We will. We surrender to him and let him have his way and have that relationship with him. He's the Lord. I'm not the Lord. Problem is that when my sinful nature, when I live in that, I think I'm the Lord. Everything's got to go my way. Here's a kind of a rebuke in chapter 6. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Pretty powerful. As we let the Holy Spirit rule in our heart, he's going to cause us to be the people. People will see Jesus in us, and we won't even realize it. That's what I think happened. Stephen, that's why he could be stoned. That's why this lady could come and forgive somebody that she really kind of, her own self said, vengeance. God said, forgive. And she could, you know, she loved him. She wants to be in touch with him. She wants to bless him. We want to stay in touch. We want to help you out with this and that. She said in Ontario, this would have never happened because the prosecution and the defense never talked to each other. It happened in the foyer of the courthouse. Do you want Jesus working in your life? I see Jesus working in your lives. You want more? Just let Jesus have his way more. Maybe there's some of these things in the sinful nature that it hit you. And you said, wow, I got that one. Are we going to deal with that? Paul says it's crucified. Jesus died. It was crucified. We got to consider it dead. When Jesus died, he died for that sinful nature. For our sins, but also for the sinful nature. When Jesus rose, he rose to give us life. He came to send the advocate, the one who's interceding for us and giving us new life. He's the one who stands in. In that court of law, there is a lawyer, a pretty good lawyer. And he was an advocate for the guy who was accused. And then there's another one advocating for the crown. But we have an advocate, which is, there's one, is Jesus. He died on the cross and paid. And his spirit is advocating for us today. So I want to encourage you. Not a complicated thing. It's not really complicated. It's hard to do because there's too much of me. I want to encourage you, spend time with Jesus. Let him be king. He's going to show you stuff. Don't run off too soon. Martin Luther, you probably heard this one before. He said, I'm so busy today, I got so many things going today that I got to spend an extra hour in prayer. Isn't that interesting? Because he knew that God had to do it. You know, God can do in 5 seconds what I can't do in a whole lifetime. And he will. He changes us. What matters is a transformed life. So what's in the way? God will show you. It's not for me to point that out. If there's something, maybe there's nothing in the way. But one thing I know, that if you and me and all of us surrender and let him have his way, we're going to have a revival. There's going to be revival happening right through this valley, right through BC, right in our homes. So let's let God have his way in our heart. Not by rules, not by regulations, by the Spirit of God. And then we're going to keep the rules. Praise God for that. So thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've made the way for us. And Lord, we often want to still walk in that sinful nature, even though we've received you. Even though you transformed us and gave us your Spirit, Lord, we still often resist you. And Lord, forgive us. And Lord, we can't live on other people's faith. We can't live on a relationship that other people have with you. So Lord, I pray that you'll give us all that personal, intimate relationship with you so that you can have your way in us. And Lord, give us time. It's your time that we can be what you want us to be. Well, that will fulfill all that you have for us. And Lord, I don't know in each heart here, but Lord, if there's things that are in the way, I pray that you'll just cause each of us to surrender that to you so that you can have your way. That your fruit will show. Your love, your joy, your peace will show through us. Divisions will cease. We'll have unity because you're the one who brings the unity. And I thank you for this church. I thank you for the love that's here. I thank you for what you're doing in hearts. And encourage us, Lord. Encourage us. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Lord. We want to encourage each other along. We'll do that as we surrender to you. Give us that time with you, Lord, each day, moment by moment, each day. So we praise you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.